Slurpee.
I don't think that was in the text.
No, that was years ago.
No, that was in the below the line in the Rambam.
Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. We're beginning Perek Shlishi, the third chapter in Hilchos Shvisos Asor. Perek Halacha Aleph, Chapter 3, Law 1 in the Maznaim text, page 166 and 167. And God willing, we'll finish this tonight. In addition to the prohibition of eating and drinking, there are other things that fit into the inui of the causing affliction on Yom Kippur. Aser lirchaitz b'yom ha-kippurim, one is forbidden to wash oneself on Yom ha-kippurim, bein b'chamim bein b'tzonin, regardless if it's hot liquids or cold liquids. And there's different various psukim in the book of Shmuel and other places that show that washing is a pleasure, and therefore taking away washing is an inui. As certainly in this generation, not showering at least twice a day, people would feel they're under immense suffering. So clearly, to go a whole day without washing oneself would be a very big challenge. Bein kol gufo, regardless if it's your entire body, bein eiver echad, or whether it's one limb, afilu etzpa katani, even a little pinky, aser lohoshita b'mayim, you can't insert it into water. However, there's some exceptions, says the Rambam. V'hamelech, and a king, v'hakala, and a newly married bride, reichatzines penehem, they may wash their faces. However, other things, other prohibitions, we will not relax, such as wearing comfortable shoes or anointing oneself. This will not be allowed even for a king and a kala, because it's possible for the king, for example, to wear other types of footwear that are also considered for his dignity. And anointing is just an extra pleasure, and it doesn't have to do with beauty. As we'll see in a minute, it's an aspect of beauty. However, if you don't wash yourself, that's something that is very recognizable and would take away from one's beauty. And he explains, Kala, the reason why I make a leniency by a bride is Kadesh Litiskana Albala. We don't want her to look repulsive to her husband. And there are different texts in this Rambam that added a few words that she'd be discussing, and he would want to divorce her. So,
doesn't sound like a very strong relationship after one
that's,
day.
That's not a good thing. So, and that's what's asked. How is it possible to relax a prohibition of washing on Yom Kippur for a kala? The answer is, since it's a doubt that she could get divorced, and just like we know that Hashem is willing to allow his name to be rubbed out to bring peace between a man and his wife who's a sota, so certainly to make shalom, Hashem will give up, and it's really the rabbinic law here, the rabbis will give up their laws to create shalom between a husband and wife, because, you know, some husbands really expect the wife to look beautiful forever. Now, v'hamelech, on the other hand, the king, the allowance is, k'dei shi'yeh rabbi yafyo, so people should see that he looks nice, shenemar, because the prophet says, melech b'yafyo techazen enecha, your eyes should see the king in his beauty. In other words, a king, you know, unfortunately, looks make an impact on people. The king looks anything else less than the most presentable being in the world. People could lose their respect for the king. So again, it's not for the king, it's really representing God's honor. So it's not because of the pleasure, per se. We're not allowing the pleasure.
I guess.
It's the institution, exactly. Now, v'ad kamani kreis kala, how long does a woman call a kala? Answer is, ad shloshim yom, for 30 days after the chuppah. Now, clearly, the fact that we have a leniency, many say there's a big proof that these extra prohibitions are only rabbinic in nature. Because it would be a biblical prohibition. The rabbis couldn't grant such leniencies.
Right.
But then there could be other interpretations as well, but that's a simple one. And the Mishnah Berurah, though, mentions that we don't allow this leniency nowadays. We do not paskin that a kala can wash herself in 30 days. No more. We don't have that leniency. So this halacha doesn't apply. We don't have kings anyway, so nobody is washing themselves.
Aren't we all a little bit of a king?
Well, not that kind of king. If somebody was filthy with excrement or with mud, you fell in the mud on Yom Kippur, then rocheitz mekom atinofes, you can wash the place where the filth is, kedarka, in the normal way, ve'enchosh, you don't have to concern yourself, Because that's not bathing for pleasure. That is to clean yourself, and everyone's entitled to be clean. Umedicha isha yada achas b'mayim v'nosenas pas latinoch. And a woman can wash one of her hands in water to take off the tumah in order to give bread to her little child. So again, she wants to feed her child, but you don't feed a child unless you've washed your hand properly. And therefore, she can wash her hands for the purpose of feeding the children. And for that matter, we'll see other types of washing would be permitted as well. Anything where it's not designed to give you pleasure, but you're washing things that are of a necessity.
Is that tumah or cleanliness?
Well, the commentary, interesting. My sefer has no comment.
This one has.
Yours just says talking about a tumah.
Wouldn't you just use the knuckle?
Why are you washing? You're not eating the bread.
I know, but you're giving the bread to the kids.
Yeah, Rashi's talking about an impurity that's on your hand after you sleep. I don't know.
Don't we just use the knuckles for when we wake this?
And that's why we're allowed to wash our hands in the morning.
Yeah. But just the knuckles.
Yeah.
So would this prohibition be the same?
Probably for the same thing.
Right.
Anyway, v'hachoyla, a sick person, roi chetz kedarko, can wash himself in the normal fashion. Afbishen masukin, even though life is not in danger, but it's something he needs. Remember, it's rabbinic. The rabbis are not going to do things to inflict more pain than necessary. And again, so if you have a newborn baby that needs to be washed or things like that, it medically is necessary. Or somebody just recovering from a surgery and has to have certain washing. So that would be allowed, and you don't have to worry about your hands getting wet because you're only doing it for the medical reason. Now, here's a big chiddush that we don't hold like. Anyone who's obligated to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, Tovlin Kedarkon, can go normally. Okay. So, very, yes.
When would that requirement to go to the mikvah?
We will see. We're going to explain it all in a minute. Bein b'Tisha B'Av, bein b'Yom Kippur, regardless if it's Tisha B'Av, regardless if it is Yom Kippur. We will see that that's the, even though the Rambam holds that going to the mikvah in the proper time is not a mitzvah per se, still, he allows people to go to the mikvah, and Tosfos says the same thing. But Tosfos adds, it was only in the days of the Talmud where people were very much engaged in being very meticulous about purity. And they, you know, they'd even eat regular food in a state of purity, in a very much higher level of purity. So they have to go to the mikvah right away so they wouldn't make things impure. In other words, like even like where you sat, you know, if you have certain impurities, where what you sat on made it impure.
Right, yeah.
So they don't want to make anything impure. So therefore, what would they do? So they went right away to the mikvah. That was in those days, but nowadays it doesn't matter because we're all tamei meis. We don't have the paraduma. We're never going to really be totally pure. And therefore, nowadays, this whole Rambam doesn't apply. You cannot go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur at all. No, even if you're a chassid and you go every day to the mikvah, still can't go to the mikvah. Nothing. Nowadays, we don't do this.
Isn't the Rambam writing in his time? As opposed to when the rabbi was describing?
That's a little bit... Tosfos is a little bit after the Rambam.
But the rabbi was
makes these Rambams a bit problematic.
All right.
Okay, but halacha, we don't hold like this. Okay. That's why there's so many Sfarim written on the Rambam, because they ask these questions. Even in his days, it wasn't allowed. Why did he say it?
Okay, I can see if he said in the past, one would have.
No, it's a problem. Okay, Gimel. Misharag Keri Basmana says someone has a seminal emission nowadays. Okay. Bioma Kippur, Man Yom Kippur. Now remember, there was a takana in Ezra's time, this was before the second base of Migdash, that he made a takana that anyone who had a seminal emission can't learn Torah, can't say the Shema, and can't daven until he goes to the mikvah.
Ooh.
Because why? If all the seminal emission comes from one's lightheadedness, you know, lacks a certain seriousness. And therefore, in their day, they would allow such a fellow to go to the mikvah, even on Yom Kippur.
Oh, so that takes us back to the previous.
Because then he couldn't go to shul. That was in the days of Ezra.
It doesn't apply.
So nowadays, where it doesn't apply, but what happens if you did have an emission? So what do you do with the mess that you're in? So imalachu, if it is still moist, mekanech b'mapa v'dayo, take
another fine mess you got.
A cloth and just wipe it away. If it's dirty, or shnislach leger got, if it's dry. Got dirty. Then rochets makomas amuchlachim b'vad and salt. You can wash off those parts that are dirty, no different than the mud, and then you can daven. But for also lichos kol gufo or lipo, you can't wash your whole body or go to the mikvah. Shenatov v'ismanazeh tor mipnei tumas ames, because going to the mikvah now will not purify you from impurity from touching a dead person. And washing yourself by having in order to daven is only a custom, not a din anymore. In Ezra's day, it was a din. Now it's just a custom. And a minug, a custom, cannot nullify something that is prohibited. Only thing a minug can do is el lesser some mutzer. A minug can prohibit something that was permitted, but can't permit something that was prohibited. And therefore, washing is prohibited. And to be lenient, to say, well, I have a minute to go to the mikveh every day, that's not going to help. The only time the Gemara said a person who is in a mission can go to the mikveh in Yom Kippur, Ella Kishetiknu Tfilah V'Alekrei, that's only when they made the takon in the days of Ezra for people who had these emissions. Ukvar B'Yayin already explained, Shabbatal takon, so this takon has been nullified, and therefore we cannot add to it. Okay. Dalit. Tikshuhulach biyoser, mud that's very moist. How moist? Kideshianiach Adam Yoro Alov, if you put your hand on the mud, Vitalab alachluchlis, and there'll be moisture on your hand to the extent. Shimhit bigoso liarachers, if you put it onto another hand, titbak bolachluchlis, the other hand would become moist. That's called tofeach almanaslahatpiach. You have enough moisture to transfer it. So if it's that much moisture on that mud, so you might think, maybe I want to sit on that mud, it'll be very comfortable. You cannot sit on that mud. It would be a pleasure on a hot, blistery day to sit in some nice, moist mud, because that will cool off your body.
Pig.
You know, go be in Eretz Yisrael when it's 44 degrees centigrade, and I'll tell you that would be a comfortable thing as well. So, you know, and it could be quite. No, you're sitting on the mud that's moist. So, but if it's that moist, you can't sit on it. Also, well, Yamali Adam Kli Cheres Mayim Vitzayim, but you can't fill up an earthenware utensil with cold water to cool yourself off by putting it next to your face. Why Shamayim Nischolim? Because the water will perspire.
Condensation,
right? Yeah. Meet fun of on the walls. So therefore, you'd be benefiting that. I feel a clean matakos also. Even metal utensils, you couldn't do this. Because some of that water could get onto your flesh. But you can cool yourself off on a fruit. Take a nice cold apple from the fridge, put it on your face, cool down. There's going to be no liquid there, so there is no issue. Now, you can use a cold, empty jug with no water. That you could put on, because that will not have any liquid come out of it. Anything cold with no moisture, you can do, because there's nothing wrong with cooling yourself. That's why you can have air conditioning, but you can't have any liquid going on your face. So I guess maybe those ice packs, if they don't have any liquid coming out.
I think they get wet.
They get kind of perspiring.
Okay, so if they are, then you can't
cold
use
beer
it.
Bottles.
But there's liquid there. No,
you keep them in the freezer. You empty them out for a week.
Empty too.
Okay, maybe. But as long as there's no liquid coming out, then that's okay. Hey, lokeach adam mitpachas me'erev yom kippurim. A person can take a rag or whatever handkerchief on erev yom kippur v'sher yisod b'mayim, and you could soak it in water on erev yom kippur v'nak b'mat, and then dry it out, wring it out a bit. Okay, meaning enough that there's not enough liquid to transfer, so it's moist, but a little bit moist. When you can put it under your clothes to keep it a little moist. You can put it on your face. You don't have to concern yourself for it. Even though it's very cool, but it's not very wet, and there's no problems of washing yourself. Okay, so obviously can't
have
a lot. You've got to wring it out a lot. You can't have a lot of liquid there, right? However, the Ramah disagrees with this psak because he's afraid you may wring out the thing. As a decree, he would not allow it. But technically, it would be allowed to do such a thing. So I'm wondering, you know, let's say a wet wipe.
It's wet, though.
Well, towards the top of the wet wipe thing, where it's not. I don't know if you would put your hand on a wet wipe.
Your hands get wet.
Put it at the bottom one where it's very liquid. Yeah. You couldn't, but on the top.
Wow.
So Lechayer, let's say you know when you on that LL flight and when you right before flight lands, they give you this little towelette, and I don't think that they're warm. Slightly moist, but I don't think you can transfer liquid from one hand to the next. So something like that you could use on Yom Kippur, I would assume. I'm pretty sure
about this, but before we move on from this sort of subject, roll-on deodorant, you can't use that, can you? Or can you?
Roll-on, what do you call it?
Not a stick. Because that would be forming.
Well, roll-on's got liquid.
It's spreading. You're spreading.
Right. No, not spreading. It's liquid. Okay. There's liquid coming out.
Right, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
So you have to put it on before Yonta, before Yom Kippur, and hope that it lasts for 24
hours.
You're
not getting too close to anybody.
Yeah.
I don't want to be near you.
Right? I don't know. Deodorant, I don't know if it's really liquid. The spray deodorant. Some of them are.
How
liquidy they are.
Spray goes on dry.
If it goes on dry.
So you could use the spray.
And you could use it.
Yeah.
If it goes on dry. There's some that go on a little wet.
So you test it out.
I think they're supposed to be 24 hours anyway.
Yeah, you do it right before Yom Kippur. The Mitchum, right? The real Chashuv stuff. Do it right before Yom Kippur.
It's kosher for Pesach too, the
Mitchum. What do you call it? The perfumes on before Yom Kippur. All that before Yom Kippur, so then it'll last you at least till whatever. Vav. Now here's an interesting halacha. There is halacha that one has a mitzvah to go and greet one's Rebbe on a Yontif. There is such a concept to greet a Rebbe. It's kind of fallen into disuse lately, but in the Rambam day, it was
we could revive it.
Good evening, Rabbi.
It was a big thing. So ha'hoylech lahagdol pnei Rabbah or pnei Avi. A person comes to greet his Rebbe or his father. Yeah, that's the halacha. That's what he brings down to the bottom, where it is a halacha to do that. So when you're doing that, or mishu godelman v'chacham, or somebody who is greater than him, wisdom, because even a mitzvah to go to such a person. The Gemara tells us stories of how certain rabbis went to greet other rabbis who were bigger rabbis than them. Oh, likros v'beis hamidrash, or to study in the beis hamidrash. But there's a problem. There's a river in between. It's to cross the river, which will make you wet. So over b'mayim, he may pass through the water at tzavaro until his neck. Ve'enochoshes, and you need not concern because of the problem of washing yourself, because you're going for a mitzvah and you're having in mind to have the enjoyment of washing.
You can go back.
Now some poskim say it's
can
only
you swim.
It's only wait, no, you can't.
Only up to your neck.
You have to walk it.
You can't do that, or to go on a boat or things like that. That you can't do. For other reasons, you can't go on the boat. But you cannot swim. And the poskim say, some poskim say, it's only speaking, you can do this when there's no other way to go. But if it's another way to go, they say you wouldn't be able to do that as well. However, what do we got over here? The Ramah disagrees and says that even if there is another way to go, you can take the direct route. While the Mishnah Berurah argues and says, if there's another way, you shouldn't go. So we hold at the end of the day, if there's another way, you shouldn't go through the water. Now, what's he doing? It's a mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah. Sholach lasol. So you come do that. And then once you do the mitzvah going there, then you can go back also through the water. If you're going back, it's not a mitzvah. So the answer is, as we say in many places,
you
won't let him go back through the water. Ain't all if you wouldn't go at all. So he will now stumble and not fulfill the mitzvah. So we're allowing the end because of the beginning. Anybody who wants to watch his fruits for after Yom Tov, over the mind, he could pass through the water, up his neck, and we're not concerned either. Why are we lenient? Because it's for monetary loss of money and certain times. It's not a real isser. Remember, it's not a real isser. So and people are very get confounded over their money, so we give a leniency. However, you have to do it in an indirect way, not the normal way to go through the water.
So well, you wouldn't normally walk, I presume. you'd normally swim.
Oh, I don't know, maybe you'd walk sometimes. I don't know, what if it's not so that deep? You shouldn't take your hands out of your pockets. Like you do in a weekday. I guess during the weekday, you're going like this. I don't know. You got to keep your hands in
over there.
For a
different way to keep them from getting wet?
No, to make it look that you're doing a shinui. You don't want it to look like you're swimming and things like that. So we just do it to walk through. All right, finished with washing. We now move to the prohibition of wearing comfortable shoes. Zion. Aser lino mino v'sandla filu baraglo achas. You can't wear any kind of shoe or sandal, even with one on one foot as opposed to 2 foots, because that is also an affliction if you don't have any shoes. Umuter lit lotzes the sandal shall sha'am v'shal gemi. But you may go with a sandal made out of sha'am, that's made out of wood chips, and gemi is a rubber or a type of greenery. So I guess because those are not as comfortable. Sukiyasim or similarly. Okay. Now, the Kairach Adam Beged al Ragov, so you can wrap a garment around your bare foot. But even though that look it might be comfortable, the garment, but Sharek Shia Aretz Magila Ragov, the hardness of the pavement will still get through that. Umargishu Yachev, and he will feel that he is barefoot as it were, and that's how you fulfill the obligation to become afflicted. Now, so that's why, although halachically, the only thing we really prohibit is leather, right? So even though everybody's wearing these nice, comfortable running shoes that may not have any leather, and it's certainly mitzvah that didn't permit it, but it's not in the spirit.
Yeah.
So maybe you should wear uncomfortable, shoes that are not made out of leather.
But everybody's wearing the
Although nowadays everybody makes them comfortable.
Says the Chofetz Chaim wore socks only.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. Says Chofetz Chaim wore socks. So,
could you just take your shoes off once you get to the shul?
But at present, we say that maybe we are so pathetically fragile. If we'd have to walk in our socks, we would die. You know,
especially if it's raining.
But frankly, for me, Crocs are more comfortable than my regular leather.
Yeah,
shoes.
What's the problem?
Rav Eliashev last year outlawed as Crocs for Tisha B'Av.
Okay. Anyway, what can I tell you?
Sorry.
I just don't know. Like the fact we stand for hours and hours and hours and hours. I think once our feet would hurt, we wouldn't have any kavana and we'd just be finished. Right. So as long as we're doing something that looks unusual, at least you're not stylish.
No.
Right.
Definitely.
And
not
there's stylish. Certain little shame to not be dressed in a stylish way, so that's good enough. But you want to be machmer. There's certainly room to be machmer and go with your socks if you want to. Okay, certainly not going to do that in the street.
Right.
You gotta have to.
Mordechai wear socks on Tisha B'Av?
I don't know. Speak to him.
I think he did.
Okay. Rabbi,
he wore sandals here.
That was just at shul, not walking to shul.
Walking to shul. I mean, you gotta wear something. You don't want to cut your feet.
Yeah, right. That'd be important. But then you cause it to bleed, and that would be a problem too.
Yeah, so I wouldn't recommend socks for outdoors.
So taking your Crocs off while you can you daven without shoes on?
You can daven with your socks on Yom Kippur, because the earth is not cursed on that day. Right? The reason we wear shoes is to separate us from the earth, because the earth is cursed. But on Yom Kippur, the earth is not cursed.
So all of the times you shouldn't daven without your shoes on.
You normally should wear shoes.
But Yom Kippur is an exception.
Right. Well, number one, we're doing it to afflict you.
Right.
Namely, it's an affliction. But even forgetting about the affliction, you're going to say, but socks isn't covered for davening. Well, we know a Kohen, for example, doesn't wear shoes.
Right.
He does his avodah. Because the base on English is holy. Yeah. It's holy. So there's a connection. The whole earth is holy.
And if it's more comfortable to wear socks than your shoes, is that a problem?
It can't be more comfortable. On a hard floor, I can't imagine that being called comfortable. But, children, even though we allow little children to eat, drink, wash, and anoint, because they're fragile, but still, moni no sami mino vasandal. This, we do not allow them to wear regular shoes, because this is something that they'd be able to do. In other words, the other things have to do with the development of the child. Mm-hmm. It could negatively affect the child. But shoes, his growth is not going to be contingent upon having the best shoes for one day. So, something here. I thought I marked something down. No, okay, that's fine. All right, next. So for kids, we mocked it on them to wear different kinds of shoes. Ches. Mutter lechal adam lino las a sandal machmas akrav. Certainly everyone can wear shoes if you're afraid of scorpions. Whoa. The scorpions all around who bite. Ukiyaitzva or anything similar to that. Any damages? Kedeshal tishachem. They shouldn't bite him. Vahachaya. And a woman who just gave birth. Muteris lino las a sandal mishum tzina. She can wear shoes because of the cold. You go to anywhere near Yisrael, you know, it can get a cold night in Yerushalayim, so we don't want her to suffer from that. She has an extension of that called Shloshim Yom for 30 days. Because until that time, she's considered like a sick person. Kiyotzva, similarly, Afalpi She'en Shom Sakon, even though there's no real imminent danger to her life, but she is in a more fragile condition. And similarly, the Shulchan Aruch anyway has a wound to their foot. So that's the same thing. And the Ramah also adds, certainly if you're going out in the streets and it's muddy and things like that, you can wear a shoe as well.
Does he mean leather sandal there for the woman? Or
the sandal you wear
out anyway. He means a good sandal.
No, the leather. Yeah. Test. And certainly anybody with a foot condition has orthopedic shoes and things like that, and it could be a major problem. You can definitely wear orthopedic shoes. Test. Also, losuch miktsas gufa k'chol gufa. You can't anoint even part of your body, because that's like with oil, because that's as bad as the whole body. Bein sicha shel tanik, doesn't matter if it's anointments of pleasure. Bein sicha she'en shel tanik, or if it's not of pleasure. For example, let's say you want to take sweat away. You're going to be smearing on something to take away your sweat. And you can't do that. If the person is sick, even though his life is in danger, and he has certain blisters or things like that, barosh on his head, soch kedark, we can anoint in a normal way, and he doesn't have to worry. There's no concern for healing him on Shabbos, because even healthy people normally do this. So as long as you're doing it in a way that healthy people do it, but it is ultimately making you feel a little better, you could do it.
So if you have, let's say, a skin lesion or something like that, is what the doctor has prescribed medication
for? So as long as you're not transgressing Shabbos laws, you know, you could put it on.
So you could, because a lot of the things you put on are creams. So if you're spreading,
as long as you have a halachic way to put it on, okay, then you could put it on.
Okay.
You have, let's say, itchy skin or things like that, and this makes the itching better.
Yeah.
And there's no, and you're putting on a halachically permitted way, as if you would be allowed to run Shabbos, then you could put on Yom Kippur.
So
as
you
well
do with
the only for pleasure. Medical things, the rabbis do not want you to suffer unduly.
Okay.
We're not living with the physical pleasures, but to have real suffering already, that's, you know, just not, it's beyond, we're not making
when
that.
When the rabbi mentioned orthopedic shoes, I think I'd asked this once before, but orthotics.
Yeah. That's orthotics.
Same thing.
Yeah, even if they're covered in leather.
Same thing. You have to wear orthotics, that's fine. Yud, yesh makoma shenogu lahadlik asaner b'lil yom kippurim. There are places that had a custom in the house to light a candle. Now, have to remember, now, as opposed to, let's say, Friday night, normal Friday night, you're obliged to light candles in your house because of shalom bias and l'kavod Shabbos, all those things.
The meal.
Question is, can you light a candle on Yom Kippur, for Yom Kippur, not on a Shabbos?
And not a Yisker candle. We're
not talking about Yisker, just regular. So there are certain places out of the custom to light a candle on Yom Kippur. Now look at the reason why. Kidei she'elo boshes panim isho, so he should have shame before his wife. V'yavli dei tashur, so he wouldn't come to be intimate with his wife. In other words, there was a certain degree of shame, good shame that Jews have, to be engaged in intimacy when it's dark and not exposed to the light. So they figured if you put the light on in the bedroom, it will help the husband and wife not be in the mood to be engaged.
As opposed to romantic candlelight.
That's right. So, because we don't, because you're not allowed to be intimate.
Right.
So this would be a way of restraining people from being intimate. So that's on the one hand. But on the other hand, the Yesh Mekom Shenogu Shalom HaHadlik, the other place of the custom, not to light. Why? Because on the other hand, because if it's lit, Shema Yira Isha, then you're going to see your wife. If that's the case, the Zisa Chaymerim, she could find favor in your eyes, the Yomadesha Ashmish, and you could come on to being intimate. So, in other words, out of sight, out of mind. So, you know, there's two ways to look at it.
Or not look at it.
Or not look at it. That's correct. Right?
That's if you want to see it.
So now, so therefore, there's different customs. Now, what happens? Vim chol Yom Kippurim v'yos b'Shabbos. What if Yom Kippur comes out of Shabbos? Now Shabbos has a separate obligation to light candles on Shabbos for some bias. Then you have to light in every place. And that's what they bring down. Shadlokas ner Shabbos choiva. We're obliged to light lights on Shabbos. That's what Gemara brings down. Yom Kippur comes on Shabbos. Even in a place that is accustomed not to light on Yom Kippur, you got to light Lakovit Shabbos. And that is the halacha. Anything else over here? Now it's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, says it's an obligation to honor Yom Kippur also by lighting candles, just like it's a mitzvah light candles on any other holiday. But because of this fear of the husband and wife being together, so some had the custom of not doing this lighting in a home where the husband and wife lives together. You know, to try to make okay on that. However, what is l'maisa halacha? In all communities, we do light candles on Yom Kippur, either at home or in the shul. And certainly, because we do ladies light and make a bracha on it without any question. So obviously, you would not light it in the bedroom, though. And therefore, that would be. And there seems to be a lot of machloikasim, you know, even if you do maybe not without a bracha. But anyway, our custom is we light with a bracha. And to satisfy all these arguments, we would just not light in the bedroom, either light in the house or light in the shul. Shkoyach, guys. We finished. We learned all the laws of Yom Kippur. Nelson, see, now you can tell everybody you learned all the Rambam's laws of Yom Kippur.
Did he mention, I didn't hear him mention that you need a pre-existing light to do the Havdalah candle?
We didn't even get into Havdalah. You know, but that is the halacha. You need a pre-existing light.
And you can just look at it.
No, to light your
candle. And the best way would be,
how do you do that?
No, you leave a Yahrzeit
candle. Yeah, you can light your candle.
And really, just use the Yahrzeit candle. However, when it's on Matzah Shabbos, we can be a little more lenient, even though you should use that Yahrzeit candle. The difference is when Yom Kippur
use it
is
for
on
the
a
light,
weekday,
or you not use it.
When Yom Kippur is on a weekday, the only light you can use for Avdallah is from a pre-existing flame. Period.
Oh yeah, we had a
There's
problem
no
with that
pre-existing thing. Flame. You don't make Havdalah on the candle. Period.
But you would just make it on the
wine.
On wine.
But you don't. But wouldn't you need a second?
No light.
No light.
But when it comes on Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, we're lenient that if it goes out, you can light. You can use.
And if it doesn't go out,
you can use a non-pre-existing.
Right.
Only on a Shabbos.
If it ends on Shabbos, because still Shabbos. Though you should still try to use a 100%. Pre-existing, and not even to light from pre-existing, to use a pre-existing one.
Don't you need a second flame?
Well, not for Yom Kippur, wouldn't do it.
So you just look.
But for Shabbos, you would.
Yeah, but for Shabbos, then.
So this year, you'd light a Havdalah candle from the pre-existing flame is the best way.
And you could just have both of them together, if you could.
But the rabbi's doing that for us anyway, right?
Yep.
So we don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about
except
that.
Except for people who are at home.
No, if you're going to go
so
home.
When we go home, we should...
You could still...
It's better.
But you could still use just the one. You could still use, even for much of Shabbos.
So if Andrea doesn't come back, I should tell us to make Havdalah at home.
Just use the Yahrzeit candle.
No, just
if you already have a Yahrzeit candle for other purposes, you should light a separate Yahrzeit candle just for that purpose.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you shouldn't use it like, let's say, if you have somebody that's doing
your one for Yisrael.
Yeah,
another one.
And you light one for each. You light one for each parent. So
and then light an extra one.
So I'd end up lighting three.
And then light an extra one.
Okay.
And make sure the 48
hours. No.
Yes. Well, just make sure it could go out if you need it for Avdallah.
You don't need the 72, but 48.
But if it does go out, you can.
I was saving my 48 for next week.
If it does go out, you can. I'm not too sharp as you. Okay, go ahead, guys.
So how do we do the wife's vow? Members?
Oh, well, we'll just leave two guys and we'll just do it.
Can I?
Okay.
Can I ask one quick follow-up to the email? Thank you for answering, Rabbi. So, is it better? I'm going to do...